Holy God.
Let's all stand, number 43 in your hymn book. Let's lift our voices and crown him with many crowns this morning.
Crown him with many crowns, the Lamb upon his throne. How the heavenly and the crowns, all music of his own. Awake my soul and sing, of him who died for thee.
Thank you for being in church this morning, and thank you for singing praises to the Lord. Thank the choir for reminding us about only God, and we're thankful to be in church today, and what a good crowd it is. Thank you, and we've got folks that are visiting with us. We thank God for you being here. If you are visiting with us for the first time, we want you to know you're our guest, and we're thankful that you're here. On the side of your bulletin, there's a guest card. If you didn't mind, just fill that out, and there's a counter out in the lobby, our guest services counter. If you drop that off at the end of the service, there'll be somebody there to greet you and thank you, give you a gift just for being our guest, and we want to say welcome to you and thank you. We'll get a letter out to you from Amy and I thanking you for coming to be with us, and we're just excited to be in church. I'm going to go ahead and let you be seated. I'm going to give you just a couple of words that we can pray for, and then Brother Kyle is going to come and pray for our service this morning, asking the Lord to bless. But I do want you to be praying for several different request, and I want you to asking the Lord to bless. I was talking with Kermit just a little bit ago, and Dan Deacons, his son, is home, but now facing some blood clotting issues. So I want you to keep Dan Deacons in our prayers, asking the Lord to strengthen there. And then, of course, we're also praying. You remember that a few weeks ago, Walter Johnson's dad was in the hospital for a heart attack. Well, he's back in, not for heart attack this time. They thought that's what it was again, but we're praying for Walter Johnson's father, and I believe they're watching this morning. And Brother Johnson, we're praying for you there at the hospital. And then we're praying for Miss Leslie Farmer. Many of you might have heard, but she had some surgery this past Thursday. She's home and doing well, and they are awaiting some pathology reports. That'll come later this week about some tissue there. So I want you to be praying for Leslie and asking the Lord to strengthen and bless there in a special way. And so there's many others on our request sheet. We want you to be praying for Miss Teresa Payne and her family. Her dear preacher daddy went home to be with the Lord, and an old warrior of the cross, and so we were blessed to get to go down for just a little while. The staff, all of us went down, our pastoral staff, and we were able to be a blessing to them, I hope. And so I want you to be praying for Teresa and her family. And it's good to see Evan up there, Teresa's son, as he's home for the funeral. And just need to pray and ask the Lord to bless those folks in a special way in that family. I'm going to ask Brother Kyle to come, and he'll give you a couple of announcements, and then pray for our service. And I want you to get to know, if you haven't met Brother Kyle, Miss Anna, they use her out in the lobby at the beginning, end of service. Once you get to know them, they're doing a fabulous job here at the church. We're so thankful that God has brought them our way, and we'll have them come share a couple things with you.
Announcement for this Saturday, we're going to be having a community car wash. So this Saturday from 9 to noon, we're going to be washing cars, reaching out to our community, showing the love of Christ, and we have several teenagers signed up, and that's a wonderful thing, but this is open to anyone who would like to come wash a car. So if you are good at washing a car, we would love to have your help. You can see me, and we'll get you down for helping us. And Lord willing, we'll be able to be a light in our community and show Christ to those around us. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we do thank you for your salvation that you offer to us. Lord, thank you for your goodness. Lord, thank you that you are on the throne. God, I pray that your hand would be in the service. Lord, I pray that we would receive what you have prepared for us. And we pray all of this in your name. Amen.
Amen. Well, we're having Brother Bobby Brown's going to come make some announcements about a very special event that we've got coming up, and we're excited about these things that we get to do. Of course, it's a good time for some of the folks of our church, but then it's also an outreach to different families of our community, and which is primarily what we're gearing it toward, just to have folks here on the property. And so I'm going to ask Brother Bobby to come and share that with you.
Thank you, Pastor, for giving me just a minute here. A couple of years ago, we were able to do a harvest party here on the grounds of Buffalo Ridge, and that harvest party included a bunch of games, a bunch of inflatables, hay rides, and it was targeted to kids 12 and under. We had a wonderful turnout. We had about 250 people on our grounds that day. A lot of them were our church kids. A lot of them were people who had never darkened our doors before. So we're going to do the same thing October 23rd. 1 to 4 in the afternoon, we're going to have a harvest party here at Buffalo Ridge. And on that day, we will have, there'll be games, there'll be hay rides, there will be inflatables. We can have this gargantuan bulldozer-like thing coming. I'm excited to see that. But it will be a lot of fun. The kids love it. People enjoy it. So two things, and I'll be done. Number one, why are we doing it? We're primarily doing it to share the gospel. Everybody that walks on the grounds that day will receive a gift bag, and in that gift bag will have a clear presentation of the gospel in there. Secondly, we want folks to know what's going on at Buffalo Ridge for kids. And so in that gift bag as well, there will be information about the church, there'll be information about the patch clubs, things that are coming up specifically for kids. So secondly, how can you help? We need two things. Number one, we need volunteers. We need smiling faces who can come and work games. When a little kid comes in and wants to toss a little rope over a candy corn painted traffic cone, we need somebody to do that. It is, I promise you, it's a lot of fun. If you've never had the opportunity to volunteer for something at the church, this is a great way to do it. If it's the first time you've ever worked with kids at the church, sign up. You'll get a call and somebody will say, hey, first time you've worked with kids here. They'll do the little background check and get that stuff out of the way. Be part of it with us. Secondly, and this is everybody who goes to Walmart can do this, we need candy. So as you go out the next 2 or 3 weeks, if you'll grab an extra bag or so of candy, and there will be a box in the back that will be appropriately decorated for this. And if you will just drop that off and put that in there, that way we will have something to give the kids as they accomplish games or show up or whatever. So we are excited that this is going to happen. There'll be other ways you can sign up other than games. There'll be opportunities for security, traffic. So please join us, and then invite people. You'll have some cards that you're going to have. If you have grandkids, if you have kids, if you have neighbors, just let them know about it. That is the best way that we can be impactful. So thank you again, Pastor, and we look forward to October 23rd, 1 o'clock to 4 o'clock, kids 12 and under. And we'll have more printed information for you over the next week or two. Thank you.
Stand with me one more time. 340 in your hymn book. My faith has found a resting place.
My faith has found a resting place. Not in device or greed. I trust the ever-living one. His words for me shall plead. I need no other argument. I need no it is enough that Jesus died, and that he died for me.
passage, may that be our heart's prayer. I am thine, O Lord, I have heard thy voice, and it told of thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer to myself this question, who am I? Who am I that a king would bleed and die for? Who am I that he would pray, not my will, thine for? The answer I may never know, why he ever loved me so, that to an old rugged cross he'd go, for who am I? When I'm reminded of his words, I'll leave thee never. Trust in me, I'll give to you a life forever. I wonder what I could have done to deserve God's only Son, to fight my battles till they're won. For who am I? Who am I that a king would bleed and die for? Who am I that he would pray, not my will, thine for? The answer I may never know, why he ever loved me so, that to to an old rugged cross he'd go. For who am I? The answer I may never know, why he ever loved me so, that to an old rugged cross he'd go. For who am I?
Amen. Thank you, Brother Dan. Miss Carmen, who am I? Wonderful, wonderful singing this morning. Thank you for that. Remind you that tomorrow night our revival starts, and I'd like to ask you a favor. Of course, obviously I want you to be here, but I know that sometimes work schedule will pull somebody out, but you do not want to miss it. I want you to be here. If you have young people, Brother Joe Arthur is a wonderful, wonderful preacher that I want you to have your teenagers or young people to come and hear. You will not be disappointed, and I want you to be here as a family. And if you're not working or you can be here, then I challenge each of you to be here every night. He'll be here Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. He doesn't normally give Wednesdays, but he loves our church, and he's been here before, and so he is staying here through Wednesday. So I want you to be here. But then also, I want you to be praying. We'll open up the blue room down here about a half an hour before service. If you want to slip in and pray before the service, just kind of self time there, we'll pray. But I want you to be praying. And so if you would, if you need to make a note, make a note. But if not, just make a mental note. You'd say, well, Pastor, I'll be praying from here. I'll be praying every day for this revival. Would you lift up your hand and say, I'll be praying. Even if you can't come, there's a work time you're working, I understand, or something, but I will be praying. So I want you to do that. And then I want you to be here. This will be a special time on Tuesday evening. We're looking forward to honoring Preacher Austin Cook. He is up in Bristol with the big cross there by the interstate. He's been up at his church, I think, 54 years. And there's a quartet from his church that's going to sing for us that evening before Joe preaches. And we'll just take a few moments to honor him for his time there in the service, or in the service of the Lord, up in Bristol at Victory Baptist Church. Also, we do need a couple more folks to help serve on one night or the other. We don't want somebody out all the time, but if you're able to help with patrol on Monday or Tuesday, there's a sign-up sheet out at guest services. There may be a need to help in the nursery as well still. And so if you'd help for one night and then get in here for the others, you'd be a blessed person. I certainly know you would be. So don't forget revival. There may be some cards out there still. We're going to honor pastors each night. If you know a pastor that could come, I talked to one yesterday again, been trying to round up some business for us. And so please invite him to come be with us on this special revival. One last sort of announcement, our faith promise. We praise the Lord. God has done wonderful and wonderful, wonderful and marvelous things. I believe our amount right now is at $345,787. Promise for the next year. This is grace giving. This is above tithe. This is just a wonderful way that God has blessed our church. And I would say thank you, but I know you don't know doing it for me. We're just doing it for the Lord. And I trust that you prayed and put on what the Lord would have you do. If you've still yet to put your card in, put in the next week or so. We'll have a budget vote, I believe September 29th, and that'll be our church budget, but this is also the time we start our missions, and so we want you to get involved with that if you're not. So just a lot of things going on there, but wanted to share that with you. Open your Bibles, if you would, though. Now we get into the most important thing, and that's God's Word, to Exodus chapter 19. Exodus chapter 19, easy to find, second book of the Bible. In Exodus 19, we're going to preach for a little while out of that. While you're finding your place in Exodus 19, I did hear this story about this kindergarten teacher, and she wanted her students to have a show and tell assignment. And so each student was instructed to bring something that shared with their faith, or shared with the class, rather, something about their religion. And so you had to, show and tell, bring it in, show what it is, and tell about what it means to you. The first student got up and said, "My name's Benjamin, I'm Jewish." Showed a picture of it. This is the Star of David. And so all the class looked at and all that. And the second student was a Catholic. She said, "My name is Mary and I'm a Catholic. This is a rosary. This is what our means to our religion." And then this other little boy, he got up and he said, "My name is Tommy. I'm a Baptist. And this is a casserole." So be careful, folks, what we're known for, okay? And Exodus chapter 19, the Bible says in the third month, this is going to be, this is right getting into when God's going to give the Ten Commandments again to Moses. In the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai, for they were departed from Rephidim and were come to the desert of Sinai and had pitched in the wilderness, and there Israel camped before the mount. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed, and keep my commandments, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. God is giving a covenant here to the people of Israel. And this morning, I don't typically do this, but I want to preach on a phrase there in verse number 4. I bear you on eagle's wings, and take my message from mostly verse 4, just a little bit of verse number 5. And there's been so much going on in our world, so much going on in our nation, so much going on in our church. And I want to remind you this morning, I feel like a messenger to remind you, we all have phrases that we use that somebody will say, I've got your back. Somebody says, oh, I've got your sixth. So that means that I'm behind you, I'm with you, I'm watching for you. But I'm reminding you this morning that God more than has your back. As he told the Israelites here, he bare them on eagle's wings as he brought them out of Egypt. You understand, they were down there and they were enslaved, and they were amongst the people that were abusing and misusing them again and again and again. And God brought them out with a heavy hand. And as he says here in this passage, I brought you out on eagle's wings. And I want to preach on that just for a little while. He bare us on eagle's wings. Father, bless us now is our prayer. Give us these next moments together, I pray. And dear Lord, would you do in the hearts of the people today what you want done? Lord, there are some undoubtedly that need to be encouraged this morning. There are some that need to be reminded this morning. There are some that need to be kindly shaken and to a point of understanding that, Lord, you've got them. I pray that you bless us now in this time, in Jesus' name. Amen. An eagle is admired for its wingspan, its ability, its flight. An eagle is admired for all of the things that it can do. It might be the jet airplane of the bird realm, I guess. And so scientists say that, and folks that research, I should say, golden eagles can dive when they're going after prey at 150 miles an hour. Now, they can fly at about 30 miles an hour going level, but they can dive at about 150 miles per hour. So the scientists say, and the people that study them, that they can, one of their eyes can look over to the side while the other looks straight ahead, and they've got a membrane that comes down over their eye so their eyelid can be open, but that membrane can protect their eyes against the speed as they're diving and going after their prey. And they can see, so they say, a running animal the size of a rabbit from 3 miles away. That's how we get the term that he's got an eagle eye. Interesting that God uses the eagle to say that I brought you out of Egypt on eagle's wings, because the eagles were well able to take care of themselves. And you understand that they'll dive in. I watched a video one time of an eagle that dove into the water and got a fish and clamped its claws, its talons on that fish. And the fish was too heavy for the eagle to pull up, but he just sort of swam. He used his big old wings to paddle himself to the side, and then as he hopped along the shoreline and then tore the fish apart. I'm just saying that they will hold their own. And it's amazing that God says, I bore you on these eagle's wings. And I think about this morning, that as we realize that each of us, as we go through valleys, and I'm thinking about different folks in the church, and I won't begin naming them, lest you think one problem would be more important than another problem, because God's got all of us, as the old little song says that sometimes the children's home used to sing, God loves me like I'm his only child. And truly, sometimes when you feel like you're in the center of the spotlight that God is putting on you, you do think that maybe God's neglecting the other children just to give you this much attention, but he's not. He's God. He can do it all at one time. And some of us, you've walked through, and we've walked through the valley of the shadow of death. We've seen our closest ones to us that have gone on to glory, and we've seen sickness that have come and almost robbed us of the ones that we love more than anybody else on this earth. And we've come through problems when we didn't know whether cancer was going to be the thing that took us on to glory or let us live a few more days. And we've come to the places where you realize that your children, but for the help of Almighty God, would be gone forever from you. And I'm telling you this evening or this morning that we've got a God that has borne us on eagle's wings through so many problems this morning. And I've come to report to you today that God's not going to change his modus operandi. God's not going to change the way that he works, as he was to the Israelites, as he brought them out on eagle's wings out of Egypt's bondage. He will, like you, to you and to me, he will still bear us on those eagle's wings, and he will care for us. My friend, I don't typically maybe preach specifically like this, but I'll just use this verse. Now, you remember the days when you used to get in the car and just take a Sunday drive? Don't you car people ever just you around and drive around? Yeah. Now we're too busy. You don't want to do that. You might miss something on your Facebook updates, but you can just take your smartphone. You can look on that while your husband's driving. You can be over there to see, looking on your Facebook updates. You remember the days when there wasn't anything else to do, so we said, let's just take a drive. Sometimes it's good for us Christians just to take a drive around the Scriptures and remind ourselves of how beautiful God is and how good he's been to a group of people who do not deserve it. May we never at this church or any church get to a place and say, well, I know why God's blessing us, because we straightened up and we're living so good. God blessed us because he is good. Now, if you've straightened your life up and you're living the way that you believe you ought to live, then that's only benefiting you. But don't get so braggadocious to think, I know why God's so good to me, because I'm living in such a way that he likes what I'm doing. He may. But you understand the graciousness, the long-suffering of God. If it hadn't been for the long-suffering of God, you'd have been gone long before you ever called on the name of Jesus Christ. And so as maybe it's a time today just to take that Sunday drive around and look and see how good God is, I'll tell you this. Number one, he cares for us. He cares for us and he carried us. As we drive around this Sunday drive this morning and we look in the Scriptures, this passage, this verse, we see he cared for us and he carried us. The Bible says it's of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions, they fail not. All three of our kids, when they were small, of course, you know, Allie's the only one here. Right now we've got three. Jared, he's our firstborn. He's our oldest. And then we have Mads, our redhead. She's the middle one, and she's over at Crown. Jared's Pensacola. And then we have Allie. She's our youngest. And so we call her our Southern Baptist, because we picked her up at the Baptist Hospital in Nashville. So we have the firstborn, the redhead, and the Southern Baptist. All of them, when they were little, would like for dad or mom to carry them, just like your kids did. Why'd they want us to carry them? Because the distance from where we were going, from where we are to where we wanted to go, for your long legs, that was a lot shorter and more manageable than for their little short legs. And for them, the distance that you were going to want to go, they were going to want to go, was off a whole lot easier if one of you big guys, one of you big girls, one of you tall folks would have carried them. And I'm thinking this morning that the times that God has picked us up, not literally, but symbolically has picked us up and has carried us and taken us through those valleys when we did not know how we were going to make it through, those difficult seasons, those long nights when you didn't know if daylight would come for you, those times when you didn't know if the hospital walls would be the last thing that you got to see, those times, and some of you have lived long enough to see those times when you thought that your children were going to die in rebellion, but you've seen them come back and you've seen God do a miraculous work in their life. You got through some tumultuous years. I'm telling this morning that we have been carried and cared for by God, and God has carried us through, as it says in this passage, on eagle's wings. We didn't pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps, as that old saying goes. We wouldn't have even known where to reach to get to the bootstraps. God has been so gracious and so good to us. And Jesus has been so close to us, which brings me to my second point. Not only did He care for us and carries us, but He cares for us and pulls us close. Verse number 4 says, "You've seen what I did unto the Egyptians and how I bear you on eagle's wings." Look at the last phrase of the verse, if you would, verse 4. "And brought you unto myself." Now, I told you we have those three kids, and so them, like you, like yours, get dirty once in a while and get stuff all over them. And so sometimes you've got to carefully hold them so that you don't get everything that they've got on them on you. You say, "Don't you love them?" Yes. "Do you want to look like them?" No. Covered in all kinds of things. The redhead, one of her favorite things to do was make mud pies out in the back and of our house. And so sometimes when you're making mud pies, it must be a messy proposition because she'd be covered in mud. And so then you take that child, and in all the love you can, you hold them out like that as far as your arms will reach until you can get them over there where they can get hosed off. You know, if they're little enough, that sprayer in your kitchen sink makes a good shower, you know, just to hose them down. Not clean when you get them, when you think they're done, dunk them down again. But God doesn't say that to us. At the end of the verse, He says, "I pulled you close." And my friend, as I mentioned already, I'm not going to give you any new doctrine. I'm just going to take this Sunday drive with you today. But you and I ought to sit here and thank God that not only did He bear us on eagle's wings and pull us up out of the miry clay, as it were, and so many other instances, but He didn't love us afar off. He pulled us near unto His bosom. As John, the beloved apostle, was the one that laid on Jesus' breast, laid on close to Him, so now we, the children of God, can be drawn close to Him. He not only cares for us and carried us on eagle's wings, but He also cares for us and He pulls us close. Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 5 says, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Now, I don't know if he was a good role model, probably not, but an old funny man that's been long dead, Jack Benny, died, I think, in the early 70s, but this story is interesting. His wife was known as Mary Livingstone, and they lived married over 40 years. Every year on the anniversary of their marriage, he would have a big bunch of roses sent with a note to remind her that he loved her, said to Mary from Jack, simple note, just to remind her that he loved his wife. Jack died. Mary Livingstone lived some 10 more years. Sometime after his death, there was a doorbell or a knock on the door, whichever, with a flower and a note. The rose was there and the note that said to Mary from Jack. Of course, this put her beside herself. And quickly she called the florist that they always use for everything, saying, "There's some mix-up. Who's played a cruel joke on me to put this flower, send this flower to me from Jack, and he's been dead now for this long?" And the florist said, "I knew you would call." And he said, "I was instructed when you did to tell you that your husband loved you so much that he left in his will and the money to facilitate this, that a rose and card be sent on certain residual, continual occasions until her death." And he said that I wanted to make sure that nobody loved you like I did. Now again, my point is not to lift up either of those people. I have no idea about their life. But I do know that there was a person that wanted somebody else to know that he loved her very deeply. Now I don't know about Jack Benny's love. And I don't know about the love that you or I might offer one another. But I do know that Jesus has loved us with an everlasting love, that he has loved you and he's loved me with a love that's eternal, and that he reaches out that love. And as the scripture says here, as he bore those Israelites on eagle's wings, he pulled them to himself in order to take them out on that love flight, as it were, that they took. My friend, this morning I'm trying to get us all to remember that as the scripture, as the psalmist said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For what? For thou art with me. God never promised that we wouldn't go through problems. God did not promise us that we wouldn't be at the darkest places imaginable. God didn't promise that this road would be smooth and easy. God did not promise that all your problems would vanish or fly away when salvation came to your life. God did not promise that you wouldn't feel pain and hurt and anguish and difficulty. But God did promise, when all those things come, that he would hold you close to himself. The scripture sums it up so beautifully when it talks about a loved one that knows Christ going on. The scriptures say that we sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. That's the Lord Jesus loving us up close, pulling us to himself. Number one, he cared for us and he carries us. He also cares for us and pulls us close. And then I see in verse number 5 that he also cares for us and takes us higher. Now therefore, if you will, he's instituting this covenant. He says, if you'll keep obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. Now we know that specifically this is talking about Israel, the apple of God's eye. May I just put this in, don't ever think that God's done with Israel, because you read the rest of the book and you read the end times and you read all that God's going to do. He has not forgotten his people. But as point of application, I see this morning that he also, God will always take us higher. How many of you are glad you're not where you were when God found you? How many of you understand that when God saved you, there wasn't enough worth saving? There's not enough worth saving now. But he's raised us. You know, one thing on a practical illustration of this, what's always interesting and bless my heart to see is when people who come to faith in Christ and their life is in a mess, either financially or relationships or whatever, and there's nothing that lights don't shine over them and boom, they're automatically fixed and now they're a millionaire or now their marriages are put back together. But what happens is, if as they continue to seek the Lord, they continue to get close to him, they continue to follow what he says in his word, then over time, finances just get better and better and better and better. Over time, relationships just get closer and closer and closer. And over time, edges get knocked off of us. And I'm thankful that there's a lot of edges that are knocked off some of you all. And I'm glad that God's not done knocking edges off me. And we see that he always takes us higher than we were. At the end of verse 5, he says, you'll be a peculiar treasure unto me and above all people. Now, that's not in importance, because God loves everybody. But he was saying to Israel, he says, I'm elevating you. Even elevating them was a picture to the world, because you know that in all the times, as it is now, it's always been possible to come find the Lord. We think about, well, those people weren't Israelites. What were they going to do about their relationship with Jehovah God? Israelites, they were a picture of, or they were God's chosen people. And as God elevated them, God still wanted every kindred, every nation, every tongue to look to how God had done Israel. So even that was a testimony of what God could do, and God wanted to reach people then. And now God wants to use you and me as a testimony and lift us up, not for our own vainglory, not so that I can say, well, I can tell you how to make a life better for yourself. No, God wants to lift us up, and God wants to do something in our lives for the sole purpose. Well, not the sole purpose. He also loves us and wants to bless us. But for one main purpose, to get people to see there's a difference when somebody puts Jesus Christ first. And my friend, if you'd let God take you as an illustration, you would let God take you and use you as an object lesson. And you wouldn't be so proud to say, I don't want people looking at me. You'd let God take you as an object lesson and show what God can do in a life that gets dedicated to Him. I'm saying this morning that He always takes us higher. Did you ever watch an old guy from, you know, I'm from West Virginia, Tennessee, either one. You ever watch an old boy that doesn't know enough about manners to even get his way through a dinner, let alone you use the right fork? You ever see that one boy say, well, there's so many forks on here, I don't know if I get enough time to use all these. You see, take that old boy, he doesn't know that he's not supposed to put his elbows on the table. He doesn't know he's supposed to sit up straight. He doesn't know to start from the inside, the outside. As you can tell, I don't know either, whichever fork you're supposed to start from. He doesn't know any of that stuff. But boy, oh boy, oh boy, there's one thing that makes him start learning, and start learning in a hurry. There was this girl. And when he finds out that he's got to go to meet her parents, or he finds out that he's got to go meet some family of him, all of a sudden he figures out what soap is. And all of a sudden he figures out how he's supposed to keep those elbows off the table. All of a sudden he finds out he's not supposed to put that napkin down in his shirt pocket or shirt collar. You all did know that, right? That's a no-no, guys. He all of a sudden, he figures out that's not like a runway for your gravy. Oh, now it's supposed to just lay flat and neatly over your lap. He starts finding all these high society things. Why? Because he's got a girl they like to impress. And now he's going to become somebody dignified. Or at least try. She has taken him higher. It's interesting, isn't it? When you watch somebody and they give themselves to the Lord, how God does a miraculous work in them. I want you to think back for a minute. Those of you been saved for a while, where were you at? Isn't it amazing where God's brought you from? If the old you had seen the present you, you'd have laughed and said, there's no way. Some of you, the old you, if you could see the present you, you said, you give how much? When you first started coming to church, you thought, well, I can't afford $10 a week. And then the old you would see the current you, what, you're going every week? What are you, a weirdo? And by the way, the world still thinks that of us. My friend, I'm just trying to say that not only did God take those Israelites on eagle's wings and He carried them, not only did He carry them, but He pulled them close. And not only did He carry them and pull them close, but He was taking them higher. The Bible says that God set my feet on a rock, established my going. Thank God He has taken us higher. Now hold on, one of these days He's going to take us so high that this world's not going to be able to see us anymore. One of these days he's going to take us so high that we're going to see Him in the clouds, and then we're going to go to meet Him in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. One of these days it's not going to be enough that He just knocks some rough edges off of us. One of these days it's not going to be enough that He starts making you get along better with your spouse than you currently are. One of these days it's not going to be enough that you nudge in an extra $5 in the plate because you think the missions is more important than your latte. Or one of these days it's not going to be enough that he starts making you come to church more than you used to, because not because the preacher said so, but because God told you so on the inside. One of these days, it's not going to be enough that he starts making you tell the truth because the Holy Spirit of God convicts you and tells you ought not to be dishonest anymore. One of these days, it's not going to be enough that he does all of these little small things where he nudges us and knocks some corners off and some rough edges. One of these days, he's not going to be satisfied with just rising us higher in our spiritual walk with the Lord. One of these days, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall meet the Lord in the air. And the Bible says, so shall we ever be with the Lord. One of these days, he's not going to be satisfied with just getting us more like him. He's going to get us with him. And my friend, I see that God always takes us higher. This morning, if you're honest, God has been better to you than you ever have deserved. He has walked with you when no friend would have. He has been for you, with you in the wee hours of the morning when you would have been embarrassed to call any human on this earth. I'll give you a better one. Your closest friend, whoever that may be, there are things that you'd be embarrassed to even tell that person. Some thoughts that you had, some things that you were embarrassed of, you'd be embarrassed even to tell the closest friend on this earth. But we can tell them to Jesus. We can share and confide with him. One of these days, the Lord will come and we'll go be with him. Now this morning, I hope that you're taking inventory on your life up till now, and you would, by testimony's sake, say, yes, like you, God has carried me through. And this morning, what I challenge you to do is remind yourself, if he has been with you day after day, problem after problem, difficulty after difficulty, if he has been so faithful up till now, he's not going to change the way he handles it at this point. He's going to continue, as the scripture says, to bear you on eagle's wings and bring you unto himself. If you're here today and you're saved, then I trust that on this little Sunday drive that we've taken, through the blessings of this passage, that you would walk out of here saying, praise be to the Lord for what he's done in my life and what he's continually doing. And if you're here and you're not saved, my friend, one of these days you are going to meet your appointment, because the Bible says the appointed unto man once to die. You're going to meet this appointment. And if Jesus Christ, he came to be the Savior of the whole world, but if he's not your personal Savior, if you've never received him into your life, you've never received him for forgiveness of your sins, then my friend, heaven will not be your home. But that's what he desires. But if you've never received him as your own Savior, Savior from your sins, then heaven cannot be the place you go. Because the Bible said, nothing that defileth will ever enter there. And that's what we come in. All of us have a lot that defileth. And so without the salvation of Jesus Christ, then this preacher you're looking at would never be on his way to heaven. You say, haven't you been trying to be nice? Yes. Haven't you been trying to tell the truth? Yes. But I've failed so many times. Not only did I used to, I still do. And the only reason I'm going to heaven, the only reason I can take comfort in the fact of my eternal home in heaven, is because Jesus Christ saved my soul, forgave me my sins when I invited him into my life. And if you've never done that, I trust that you would today. So my message is at the end, double. One, if you're a Christian, you ought to rejoice that he's bearing you on eagle's wings. If you're here and you're not saved, then I trust here in this auditorium that you would call out to Jesus Christ, ask him to be your Savior. Let's pray together. Folks, our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. And if you're here and you're not saved, you're not sure that you're on your way to heaven, listen, please. Jesus died on that old rugged cross for you, so that you could go to heaven. And if you've never cried out to Jesus, you've never asked Him to be your Savior, to come in and forgive your sins, then you need to today. And when we stand in just a moment, I trust that you'd come to this altar and I'll meet you right down here at the front and love to take a Bible and show you how to be sure. And if you are saved this morning, my friend, you ought to shout the victory all the way home, because God's got you. God's got your back. God's got your six. God's got, however you want to put it, God has got you. He's bore you on eagle's wings. Whatever your need to do, maybe you just need to have a wonderful, sweet time with the Lord, praising Him and thanking Him. Whatever it is, I trust that you would mind the Lord and what He's told you to do. Would you stand together as the ladies play? If you're able to stand, as God's dealt with your heart, this altar's open for anybody this morning. You just need to come and pray and thank God for His goodness. Pray and thank God for His closeness. Pray and thank God for His continual guidance, that He carried you, that He brought you close, and He took you higher. If you're here and you're not saved, would you step out and come? And I'll meet you right down here at the front. Love to take a Bible and show you how you can be sure you're on your way to heaven. Maybe you're saved and you've never been baptized. Baptism doesn't get you to heaven. Baptism shows that you're saved. It's a loudspeaker moment where you're proclaiming to the world that you're a believer in Christ and you're following Him. Maybe you need to set that up. We'd like to set up for a service real soon. Maybe you need to join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. God's put it on your heart and you'd like to come present yourself for membership. Whatever the Lord's leading you to do, I challenge you to as they continue to play. Father, it's a joy to be in your house. And Lord, I'm thankful that we could gather together with people that know you, that we sang some songs of Zion, dear Lord. We got to rejoice and we got to look into your word, and I trust it's been an encouragement to every Christian here. Lord, I pray that you'd guide us and lead us. Now, folks, as we pray together, would you pray with me about this revival? Lord, I pray for Brother Joe Arthur, that you would lead and guide him exactly what he ought to preach on these next 3 nights. And Lord, I pray that you'd bring every single person that needs to hear the message. Lord, I pray you'd bring us back. I pray you'd do such a great work in our church, and we'd be able to forevermore look back at this week and say, a lot of good stuff started happening right there. Lord, bless us, we pray, and we'll thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. May look this way. Don't forget, there's a few revival cards still out there on that table to your right as you go. Take all those. They'll be useless after this week. And be giving those to some folks. And pray. Be praying for this revival. Asking the Lord to bless. And come, invite somebody. Brother Joe is a very animated, wonderful preacher. You're going to enjoy him. And we'll have a wonderful time. God bless you. Thank you for being in church. You're dismissed.